coverage of Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter. And here we are with the Talking Giants edition. We did a little home and home with the Talking Giants guys. Very entertaining fellows. They've been at every practice so far this summer as well. So we're going to get their take on what they've seen. Real quick, before we get to that, because that's going to be primarily this episode, is I'm going to give you a few things that have really stood out to me early in training camp, right? So we had talked about the offense getting off to a slow start and Daniel Jones, and I kind of warned that that was going to happen. My bold prediction, that the defense was going to dominate the summer. And that was in part because they're learning a new offense. But the offense has had a little resurgence of late. So we're taping this on Wednesday. The previous two practices were probably their best practices of the summer. Daniel Jones, ditto, same for him as well. So, you know, what should we make of it? I mean, not much at this point. You know, he's had ups and downs, looked good at times, struggled at times. So I don't know. There's nothing that has happened so far that has changed my opinion on what I thought Daniel Jones was coming into the summer. You know what? To be honest with you, I don't think there's anything that can change my opinion on him until we get to the regular season and see him play in regular season games in Brian Daboll's offense and Mike Kafka's offense. So until we see that, you know, there's nothing that is going to change my opinion of what I think he is and can be. And what that is I think it's a, you know, he's a quality starting quarterback. I don't know if he's a good enough starting quarterback. But can he be a top half of the league guy if he's in the right situation and play and he's at the top of his game? That I do think, but barely. So is that good enough? That's really the big question. So we're going to see. He's going to have an opportunity this year because that's the whole point. They're going to give Daniel Jones an opportunity to show what he can do in this offense with what they hope is a competent offensive line. Now, real quick on the offense, because these are the things that kind of stand out to me right now. The way the Giants run their offense definitely should get you excited. You know, Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka, new blood, not Jason Garrett, anybody, ABG, anybody but Garrett. Yeah, that kind of holds true here. But the fact that you're seeing guys like, you know, the motion is something that was talked about right away, early in camp. Tons of motion in the Giants offense. You know, guys like Wandale Robinson, you know, in the backfield, motioning into the backfield, out of the backfield, and the jet sweeps. Kadarius Toney, same thing. We'll probably see the same thing with Sterling Shepard when he gets back to Saquon being, you know, all over the formations. These are things that have to get you excited as a Giants fan. That there's hope for the future with this offense. That you're not going to see another offense that scores 15 points a game. Because in today's NFL, that's flat out embarrassing. And that's what it was. Now, granted, Giants finished last year with Mike Glennon and then Jake Fromm as their quarterback. So that surely contributed to it. But let's not pretend they were a good offense before that. Far from it. But seeing some of the things that Brian Daboll does and the way he's going to utilize his pieces in regards to playmakers, interchangeable parts all over the field, versatility, like that's what they're looking for. And you could see, you know, Wandale Robinson, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, even Richie James. Those are guys that fit that mold that can be used in multiple ways, that can run the ball out of the backfield, that can be used on sweeps, you know, jet sweeps and out of the slot and just do a lot of different things. And at times can also play on the outside. So there's reason for optimism there. Now, Kenny Golladay gives you a little more reason, pause for concern. Now, he had a great day this last practice. It was the best I've seen Kenny Golladay. And it was off a day of rest. They didn't really use him much the day before. So maybe that's because his body's just getting right. But he looks very tight to me. The way he runs is just not fluid right now. Now, maybe it's because he was banged up in the spring. We don't exactly know what that injury was. He was a little evasive on it when he talked. So that's your only real hope, I think, with Kenny Golladay, is that injury, he's still getting healthy right now. And that's why he's a little tight and not moving great. But then there's a flip side that it could be, hey, this guy really has been banged up for 2 years now, never was super explosive. That was never his game. Maybe he lost a little bit, and him losing a little bit could be problematic. Evan Neal also, slow start, obviously seventh overall pick, right tackle. Hasn't looked great. We can't sugarcoat this. He hasn't looked great early in training camp. Not going to make too big a deal about it right now. He's a rookie. Growing pains going to happen, but just something to keep an eye on. The tight end position for the Giants right now, holy cow. Ricky Seals-Jones, who they signed this offseason, is kind of, he's been banged up. He's been out. He hasn't been practicing. So, I mean, it's Daniel Bellinger, the rookie fourth round pick, and Andre Miller? Jordan Akins has been playing second, third team. I mean, they really don't have much there. It would almost surprise me at this point if at some point they don't have to add a veteran tight end. Like, I know Eric Ebron came in earlier this offseason. Like, something like that, I could definitely see happening moving forward, considering the state of their tight end position. Also, cornerback, man. Their cornerback depth is something that's very noticeable. Adoree Jackson, by the way, has been great. He might actually be having the best camp out of anybody on the Giants. That's how well I think he's playing. Like, he's been great. Every time they try and throw at him, pretty much he's right there. Intercepted a couple passes. So I've been very impressed with Adoree Jackson. Now, my little concerned overall that he's your number one cornerback, sure. But the fact that he's playing at a really high level makes you feel good. The depth behind him and Aaron Robinson, who Aaron Robinson we still don't know much about. We're learning. Jury's out on him. Like, one day, I looked the other day, okay? Let me just set the scene. Cordell Flott didn't really do much that day. So the second team, Cordell Flott's obviously a draft pick, mid-round, a third-round draft pick. The second team cornerbacks for the Giants were Zion Gilbert, Darren Evans, and Khalil Dorsey. And if you don't know those names, I don't blame you, right? You're like, who are those guys? Exactly. That's the point. And that's kind of why the second team offense, I think, gets to feast a little bit. Like, their cornerback depth is bad. It's something that also, and I don't even know if they can really address it. It might just be something they got to take on the chin. But that's one area of this team that they're going to need to fix going forward, is that defensive backfield. They are short on players. They better hope some of these young guys, the Aaron Robinsons, Cordell Flotts, or even Darnay Holmes, who's having a strong camp in the slot, that these guys really pop. And these guys end up being players. They can't afford for these guys not to be players. All right. I touched on enough right there. Let's get to the main show. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're going to run it back because I just did an interview for Talking Giants. Bobby Skinner, Justin Penick right here to my right and my left. We're sitting in a van, by the way. Let me just explain.
Breaking Big Blue.
On to the next.
We're just going to do your podcast for time. You.
It's going to be like a nervous twitch today. Every like in the middle of talking. We're just I'm going to be a real pro, and I'm just going to keep going now. You guys, so just a heads up.
This is actual Giants After Dark in the van.
Yeah, so they have me in a van, okay? This is like an old school type of the movie I'm talking about, where they basically go around and they start snatching everybody and kidnapping them and throwing them in the van. We're in a van in the parking lot.
We were going to make outside. That video and we forgot to do that.
What do you mean? There's still time.
Yeah, we got to do that.
It's August something. Mm. Something August.
We'll be here.
Yeah, you're here plenty of times.
Oh, you did make it, and I forgot to post it. That's my fault.
You're on top of it, Bobby. Can we get on track here?
Yeah, let's get on track.
Get through the introduction.
All these ESPN listeners are hating me right now.
We're in a parking lot, okay? Out at the Giants, outside the Giants practice facility, practice field, and we're sitting in a van, three in a row.
By ourselves.
Sweating our asses off, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. My back sweat crazy right now. With a camera in the van.
Sure.
And now we're going to run it back. I just did your podcast. Now you guys are going to do mine.
Let's do it.
So you've been here all of training camp. Every practice. What are we, six deep right now?
So today was the seventh practice we saw.
Okay, huge. So wow.
Today was seven, right? So basically we're a week in.
Yeah.
You've been there for every practice. Now, we started off, first day, everyone, we got full carte blanche. We're taping everything. You guys are having a blast. I mean, I try and pick, like, the two or three best plays. You guys are pumping out, what, 10, 15?
Probably 10 overall, yeah, because they allowed us on those days.
Yeah, you could.
I was getting the motion. I was having a lot of fun with the motion. I didn't even show the play. I would just show the motion.
Yeah, which is exactly what the Giants don't want, and other teams don't want, too. I don't know if you saw the Vikings. The Vikings had it on, like, a scoreboard and said, you know, please, fans, help out your team. Don't tape.
Yeah.
Please don't.
They're very paranoid. Practice.
So the second day we show up and they say no more taping to the media. But you guys are not in the – you are media, by the way. You don't have media passes. You're fans in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue taping. But the Giants, then they decide, okay, the next day and the day after that, they start having security out there basically looking for you guys.
Yeah, they sent me a nice email.
You're still taping it at this point.
Yeah, I'll walk
you through. So tell me, wait, where did all of a sudden, we're in day seven, you guys are no longer taping. So how did we get here?
So what had happened? So day one, everyone's taping. Day two, you guys weren't taping, but we were allowed to.
Right.
Day three, the signs show up. Day three and four, we're like,
Day two is like you're in your glory on day two.
Yeah, day three and four.
The only ones you got exclusive videos from Giants practice, basically.
Day three and four, we record. We're just like, hey, until they tell us to stop. Like, they were yelling at everyone but us. Like, we were having conspiracy theories of our own. Did they tell the security to leave us alone?
We saw the security try to start looking for you guys. Somehow they couldn't find you. Not like,
hey, I'm 6 foot seven standing up in the back row. I don't know how they didn't see me. And then on Sunday, Justin gets an email from the head of security. I email them back, and then I get a phone call from Pat Hamlin where we went. Pat Hamlin, the Giants head of PR.
Wait, hold on. You email him back. You can't just gloss over that. What did you say in the email back? Did you say, no, I'm going to keep taping?
No, we said we're going to follow the rules, but it was like, could we have a conversation because, you know, we'd like to find some sort of middle ground. Just basically letting them know, like, yes, we're going to follow your rules, but we're not happy about it. And I said, like, you guys put all the plays we're putting on, you guys put on Training Camp Live, and I just think there's a lot. Like,
with better cameras, by the way, and not Twitter-reduced quality.
The Giants are going to play three preseason games. I don't doubt that there's other teams watching stuff, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change anything watching a few Twitter clips. It's going to be off the preseason, what they base it off of.
I think if we could get everyone to go tight and you don't have all that motion and you don't see it from, like, that perspective, then they wouldn't have a problem with it.
Sure,
but
they're not reinventing the wheel, you know.
Was that a solution you suggested or no? That was kind of what we suggested. Hey,
we'll just
make sure we do it tight. We won't have the whole play and the formation so everybody could see, you know, your route combinations, your formations, that kind of stuff.
From the stands, it's just impossible to do that because you're so far back. But then,
zoom in, right? No?
Even as much as you zoom in, it's still a wide shot from where we're using.
I would say so.
Pat Hamlin, you know, we were respectful.
And Pat Hamlin was nice, too.
And said we'd stop. So that was the end of it.
That was the end.
The end of the videoing. So now, you, the fans, do not have videos of live drills at practice. That's where we stand because we can't tape any of the live periods. So you'll see individual drills. You'll see one-on-ones.
O-line, D-line, one-on-ones are what I like.
O-line, D-line.
Yeah. Even though all the coaches are standing in the way, but regardless.
Yeah, some of the
neither here nor there.
O-line, D-line is the best for one-on-ones because the
it matters
one-on-ones
the most
for the DBs and the wide receivers, sometimes it's stupid. You have a whole field to work.
Yeah,
they throw a pass. It's like the guy runs 17 different moves in the middle of the field. It takes 20 seconds, and they complete a pass. You're like, yay, the fans clapping. You're like, come on, there's no way. In the game
extremely favored for the offense, and one-on-one O-line D-line is favored for the defense, but it's not like unrealistic favored like the wide receiver DB ones are.
Okay, so let's go over to what you guys have seen. Like, what has stood out to you? You are Mr. You know, O-line, D-line, Bobby, so let's start there. What to you has stood out between those groups?
When John Feliciano was out and Jameel Douglas was in, the offensive line was inoperable. Just not just Jameel Douglas being bad on himself, but also not picking up blitzes.
We're talking aside from just the snaps, because the first day there was bad snaps.
Yeah, so. Snaps don't even bother me. It was just not picking up blitzes and losing individual battles. I'll ask you, do you think Shane Lemieux might actually end up being good? Because he's had a pretty solid camp. And when they moved him to center, it looked better. And that was a player who has not earned it, but has been a guy that we've talked about all offseason. Is like, don't quite give up on this guy yet. He got thrown in way too early his rookie year and then lost his whole second year. And it was the most limited sample size, but those 18 reps versus Broncos, like, he was doing good in pass pro. And again, it was only 18 reps.
I go back and forth. I don't think he's a great pass pro player.
But he should.
He'll be a quality, he'll be a plus run blocker, maybe an average pass blocker.
Yeah, if he can get to an average pass blocker, like, he's a guy, like, you keep around.
For.
Yeah. You know, like don't go to.
He's getting the opportunity. By the way, he gets every snap with the first team at guard until he had to move to center. But like, he doesn't run with the second team
at all.
They're giving him every opportunity in the world to be a starter. Where do you stand on Justin? Where do you stand on Shane Lemieux? Do you like what you've seen? Where you feel confident with him?
Yeah,
as an interior starter.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Josh Azudu a little bit more at guard. I think we're seeing him a little too much at tackle. But if we're just talking about Shane Lemieux here, then yes, I mean, we were saying all throughout last season, 17, 18 reps against the Broncos. Yes, it's very small sample size, but he looked like a different player and he looked comfortable. That was the main thing too. And he's looked comfortable this training camp as well. You know, not being so hesitant, being more comfortable in pass pro, his feet moving better, mirroring a little bit better. So if they feel confident in him where he is the sole one getting those left guard reps, the first team reps, then I feel good about it as well.
The confidence level in Evan Neal right now is blank. Justin, I'm going to start with you because it hasn't been great. It has been a little rocky start for Evan Neal. I don't think any of us are going to sit here and deny that. So your confidence level in Evan Neal right now is...
It's still solid, but really, I am more hesitant about the coaching side of things and Bobby Johnson rather than Evan Neal. Because I think Bobby Johnson,
talking
the offensive line coach,
set aggressive approach.
Yeah, and we're friendly with some Bills guys, the cover one guys, and we're friendly with some of those guys, and they were not necessarily dreading losing Bobby Johnson as an offensive line coach. And those Bills offensive lines over the years haven't been fantastic. I guess they haven't been necessarily terrible, but they haven't been fantastic. So I'm hoping that the coaching here and Bobby Johnson wanting to do it his way, getting rid of these vertical sets, I'm hoping that doesn't impact the growth and development of Evan Neal.
Where do you stand on Evan Neal at this point?
It's been a week.
I mean, none of us are giving up on him at this point.
No.
Let's be fair. Like, we're not, none of us are completely panicked yet.
I think you remember every year that these guys are rookies. You get so excited about their draft profiles and you remember it's like, hey, this is another level of competition they're facing. I think some of the things he needs to clean up are definitely fixed. Like, it's not like he just can't handle the athleticism. He dominated the number one pick in the NFL draft and Trayvon Walker when they played. So I think it's just some new things, switching back over to right tackle from left tackle. So it's only been a week, but I will say, like,
if it's 3 weeks in, no, we feel different.
Well, I'm saying the very current thoughts of Evan Neal have went down a little bit about how about like the first 6 weeks of the season. But like, none of this makes me think about what year three, like, changed my opinion of what year three Evan Neal will be, but it's kind of like tempered the expectations for year one Evan Neal.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
The most important thing when we come about in practice and you really get a good look at it, Daniel Jones, the quarterback. You guys, where are we at on Daniel Jones? I feel blank about Daniel Jones right now, Justin.
That's
the answer?
Meh. It's meh. Like, Justin made the point the
Did
first
Did you just make a fart noise?
Jordan, I'm more excited about the offense that Daniel Jones is in rather than Daniel Jones in the offense, if that makes sense. I'm more excited about the offense that he's in.
So that means nothing about Daniel Jones.
No, it really doesn't.
Blown you away one way or the other.
Yeah, and really, I hate to just go away from Daniel Jones, but you know, you asked Bobby about takeaways from camp. You wanted to start on the O-line, D-line, but for me, the takeaway from camp so far has been the elements of what we've seen from Mike Kafka and the Kansas City Chiefs offense, rather than just a Brian Daboll offense, and how those guys are really, it seems like they're collaborating. I can easily see, you know, a head coach come in like Brian Daboll, who's had success as an offensive coordinator, saying, all right, yeah, Mike Kafka, you're here, thanks, but I kind of want to do things my way. I can easily see him doing that. I have a pedigree. My scheme is successful. You haven't even called plays before in the NFL. This is, you know, that's Andy Reid's system. But Mike Kafka is bringing in the elements of the Kansas City offense with the orbit motion and all the stuff that the Giants don't want us to show. They haven't really done it the second week of practice. A lot of heavy motion stuff the first week, especially in the red zone. But that kind of stuff and adding the schematic element of Kansas City and Buffalo, because I feel like those two teams kind of balance each other out. Some of the things that Buffalo was bad at, I think Kansas City was very good at. So I'm excited for Daniel Jones in that offense. That's what I'm excited about.
Are you willing to give me a non-scapegoat answer?
Yeah. You see how I did that there, Jordan?
I will say it's gotten gradually better with the month.
Like, you become a pro's pro.
Thank you.
Those first few days, it looked kind of like, and the third day was more just overall offense was bad, not necessarily Daniel Jones, even though he was the biggest issue Justin pointed out was he was holding on to the ball for way too long, and there were so many would-be sacks, but they end up throwing the ball in practice anyways. And then on Monday, when they focus on running the ball, mm-hmm. I mean, Daniel Jones was terrible. He was missing throws. He was missing timing. Also, it was just a bad day. The last 2 days have been pretty solid.
We're taping this on Wednesday afternoon.
So 7 days of practice, it's gotten gradually better. And again, you have to take in fact that they're playing against Wink Martindale's pressure defense. So, but long term, not just a week of practice with Jones, for me, is he has to be almost great to be brought back.
I agree with this.
It doesn't matter if he's solid this year. If he's solid this year, it's not good enough because
the worst
contract's
thing for them is if it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, so
he's not bad. He's not great. Yeah. He's okay/good. Like that's the situation you don't want. Then you win six or seven games. You don't get a great draft pick. You're in no man's land when you're quarterback. That you want him to either fail spectacularly.
Yeah.
Or blow up in the best way possible.
Or still, I mean, he could play a really solid 13 games, but that means that you're still missing 4 games or you're missing 5 games. That's really the main thing with Daniel Jones, too, is that, in 2020, we saw that offense start to pick up, then he gets hurt. 2021, they fired Jason Garrett. He gets hurt that game. So, he's gotten hurt at very inopportune times throughout his career. So that's a huge element part of it, too, where if he gets hurt this year, I almost feel like regardless of how he's playing, you don't really deserve any kind of big contract investment. Yeah.
You can't.
So it depends on how they where do they land with their draft spot, like you said. And is there a guy, if they land up with the 8th or 9th pick and they're like, hey, I think this guy's either going to be there, and if he's not, we're willing to trade up. If there's not that guy they point, then you can bring back Jones on not the franchise tag, but a 1 year $11-12 million deal. Like, hey, this, you're not getting more than this on the open market. Yep. And use him as a stopgap. But they also gave Tyrod Taylor the majority of his guaranteed.
Tyrod Taylor's contract is kind of a stopgap contract too. So
for sure, he is the stopgap next year. Yeah. He's already signed to be the stopgap just in case.
Yeah. With Daniel Jones, it's the contract's expiring, so it's really there's no more. It's now or never. There's no more excuses and no more valid excuses because it just doesn't matter. So
yep.
Let's do speed dating real quick. You date him or dump him, right? But based on what you've seen from them from training camp, you basically like what you've seen or you haven't.
I can't believe I'm now part of a quick little podcast segment of Breaking Big Blue with Jordan Ronan.
Speed date. You're speed dating in a van.
I've dreamed of this.
If this is what your dreams were, Justin, I don't know. I don't know. You might need to reconsider.
Okay.
Okay. So ready? We'll start at the wide receiver position. Kadarius Toney.
Marry
him or dump him based on what you've seen.
Date him. I love him. He's one of my favorite players on the team. He's electric, and he could be a game-changing player. The only thing stopping him is health.
Date him. Same reasons.
Kenny Golladay, based on what you've seen. Had a better day today. Today's Wednesday, but it's been a rough go so far.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of drops, but I do like the way they're using him.
Date him or dump him. Come on.
I mean, what are the conditions of the dump?
You got to pick one right now based on what you've seen. 7 practices.
I'll go first.
That means dump him, and he just doesn't. He's He's trying to convince himself.
Depends on what the
say.
Conditions are of the dump bar. Do we got to split everything? Like, look, what's...
All right. I got it. I'm going dump him. Simply because Wandell Robinson, Kadarius Toney, even Saquon Barkley in the receiving game, they're really going to be featured. Now, I thought heading into this year that, oh, we are going to see the Kenny Galladay that we thought that we would see in 2021. But I think he could have a solid year, but I just don't see that happening because I think there's going to be so many other weapons featured in the offense, so I'm going to go dump him.
Bobby, do you like the way he's moving every day?
He just doesn't stretch. Isn't that funny?
I'm dating Kenny Galladay. I'm not letting Jason Garrett ruin players for me. I'm dating
that
Kenny
has nothing
Galladay.
To do with Kenny Galladay. What worries me from what I've seen so far is he just seems tight when he moves.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be moving freely, like, you know.
The best play of camp that he's had so
today
far
was the best one.
Was a contested catch, and that's, you know, kind of during Wednesday's camp. Yeah.
We go on to Saquon Barkley.
Bobby.
Long-term, dump.
Right now, based on what you've seen in training
camp.
Oh,
date him. Then he's looked great in training
camp. We're doing it based on what you've seen right now.
Oh, okay.
In training
so now I understand
guys.
The rules. Yeah, date him.
I said it three times, at least.
Yeah, I know. I'm listening, Jordan.
He's looked great. So date him.
I know.
I'm trying to answer the question. I'm dating him.
You didn't answer Galladay for like 10 minutes. We're still waiting for your answer.
No.
Where'd you go stand on what you've seen from Saquon?
I'm going to go dump him.
Really?
Just part of his 2021 has it left a very, very sour taste in my mouth. I don't know if he can be the explosive back. I am less confident that he can be an efficient running back, which I think that is what he needs to do more in the latter part of his career. You know, running backs have pretty short careers compared to some other positions. So I am going to go dump him.
Based on what we've seen in training camp so far, Bobby.
I know the rules.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Dumb.
Wow.
You haven't been overly impressed?
He's had flashes, but he hasn't been like consistently dominant.
Okay. This isn't saying we want to dump him long term, obviously.
Yeah, this segment is making me feel bad because I'm saying I'm dumping the guy that I love.
No,
like,
it's just based on what we've seen the first 7 days
Bobby
of training
Skinner
camp.
Is so stingy on these fun segments that are supposed to be fun. He's
trying to take it totally literal, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go
date
him.
It ruins all the nuance.
I'm going to go date him.
I'm going to date him, too.
There was a really, really fun play where he went outside to inside on Andrew Thomas during a practice one of the first weeks. And even when there isn't plays where he's winning the battle, Andrew Thomas and Kayvon Thibodeau are getting the best out of each other, and they're competing. So I'm going to go date him.
See, I would say date him, too, because I'm almost expecting him to be up and down. That would be my
nuance. Date him or dump him.
Aaron, he's ruining the game.
He's such a jerk.
He's ruining the game.
I am.
I mean, just a total buzzkill. He's ruining. Aaron Robinson. I'm going with Justin first because I don't want to deal with Bobby.
Date him. He's been very, very physical. I don't know if it is by design, but the Giants coaching staff or, you know, the Giants offense, they have just been targeting him a ton during this training camp. And even when he's allowed catches, he's been physical. He's been there. He's been trying to play the ball. So I'm going to go date him.
Bobby?
I'm dating him because my expectations weren't huge and he's had some good moments.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like on the border of that one. I might go and dump him because I just feel like he's going to get called for like a gazillion penalties with the way he's played. And
that's
like,
true.
You've seen him flagged a bunch of times already. Mm-hmm. I think he got flagged on like a fourth down play a couple days ago, which, like, God, we don't. That's like the last thing you kind of want.
I kind of would rather see that than you get beat 30 yards down the field. So if there's something bad that has to come out of Aaron Robinson's training camp, getting flagged a little too many times versus allowing 30 yard explosive plays, then I'll take that.
Okay. Let's finish with this, Bobby. I think this is like the tee up of all tee ups. Andrew Thomas.
Date.
Andrew Thomas. Oh.
He put this van together. He's looking awesome in training camp. He's going to take the next step.
He does look good. I will say that. For sure. Even though you are in love with him.
I am in love with him.
You literally,
he
would actually date Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
I messaged him a picture of the van, and I said, "She misses you," to Andrew Thomas the other day.
He really appreciated that.
So
he wasn't creeped out by that.
No, I'm sure not at all.
So, no, yeah, I'm dating Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, I'm date him, too. Really, really looked solid last year. I'm excited for what he can do. Hopefully, he's fully healthy this year. He looks good in training camp, so I'm going to date him.
Okay, here's where I'm going to end this segment right here. Ready?
Ready.
I watch practice every day. And we talked about this before we started. The secondary is definitely an area of concern, the depth of that secondary. Holy cow. What concerns you more, or which is the weaker, unit depth-wise, in your opinion? Defensive back, cornerback, or tight end.
I like the way you changed the question, because if it was which concerns you more, it's easily the DB group.
Because DBs is a more important position.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's why I had to change that right there real quick.
I can't believe I'm saying something's thinner than the Giants DB room, but the tight end, Andre Miller, is a converted wide receiver from the University of Maine. I liked him a little bit, you know, when we do our undrafted free agent review. He is now their backup tight, looks like right now their number two tight end and their starting fullback. This guy was a wide receiver for the University of Maine last year, and he might be their starting fullback. You know, the H-back position, the number two tight end.
He's probably never blocked in his life.
And their clear-cut, not even a doubt, number one tight end is a fourth-rounder who, you know, had like 28 catches last year.
Who is at best underutilized at San Diego
And Chris
State.
Myrick might be the third tight end. Like Jordan Akins and Ricky Seals-Jones.
Who caught the ball with his butt, by the way, right? When it was thrown at it, hit him in the chest.
Guy catches everything.
He had to catch it with his butt.
Listen, Giants weren't going to the red zone last year.
He spent the playoffs with last year, so he's bringing that winning culture. I mean, you imagine how thin the tight end room was in the offseason, and you said that Akins and Ricky Seals-Jones might not even make the team. Like, it's unbelievably thin.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to end on that note. So we're going to end this segment, so I'm going to let the talking Giants guys take care of it for me.
On to the next one.
All right, that was a lot of fun right there. That was the Talking Giants guys. Go check them out, Talking Giants, all over the internet. Really, I like the perspective. It's a different perspective than your normal beat writer perspective of covering the team. So definitely something I also watch and keep my eye on as well of the work that they do, because I do respect it. Now, I'm going to give you a little Jordan on a beat right here. This is the portion of the podcast where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, cover the NFL in general. And I'm going to talk to you about the struggle we're going through right now. Okay. So it's the dog days of summer. It's 90, 95, 98 degrees, super humid, hot. That sun is pounding on you. You're tired at the end of the day. You're hungry. Now you go after practice. You do interviews with players, and then you go, and the Giants have a tent where they have media dining, basically. They give you lunch, okay? Free lunch, which, of course, not complaining. I never complain about free stuff, right? I'm a sports writer who's fat and out of shape, got the belly. My jackets are too tight in the midsection because, you know, that is what we do. This is part of the job description. At these events, they basically feed you. But here's where the struggle comes in, right? So I'm hungry. Trying to eat healthy, kind of. And you walk in there, and there's a big plate of cookies. Chocolate chip cookies. Warm, soft chocolate chip cookies. Now, there's also the oatmeal raisin, which we all know are trash. And by the end of the day, the chocolate chip are pretty much gone. And the oatmeal raisin are sitting there. There's a whole plate of oatmeal raisin. So if you want to tell me how oatmeal raisin's great, it's the better cookie, you know, sociological experiments by just putting them out on the table always, you know, settles that debate. It's chocolate chip first, you know, oatmeal raisin last. I mean, that's just the way it is. Go look at any cookie tray that's sitting out there. Test it. Oatmeal raisin sits there at the end. But anyway, so you're walking by that tray and those cookies are staring you in the face. Nice, soft, gooey cooked chocolate chip cookies, man. They look so good. And you want to just grab one. You want to grab another one. You want to go for two or three. You just want to do it. And when you're trying to eat healthy, it's a struggle. Because, I mean, is there many things better in life than free chocolate chip cookies? The answer to that, by the way, is no. There's not. Who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies? Nick, seriously, you're an alien if you don't like chocolate chip cookies. In my mind. I mean, I don't know many people. Even Brian Dunleavy. You saw his eating idiosyncrasies. Even he loves chocolate chip cookies, right? It's a staple. It's a basic. But no, this is part of the training camp struggle. Like, if I go a day and I only take one chocolate chip cookie, I consider that a success. Yeah, I only ate one. That's good. It's good portion control right there. But the problem is, you get to the two, the three, the four. There was once a guy who took, I saw it with my own eyes. Dan Graziano was there. 12 cookies. Yeah, at once. 12. This was years ago. Years and years ago. kind of when I was first on the beat. And we're all standing there waiting on line, and he takes 12. So this is not, basically, there's not going to be enough left for everyone behind him. 12 cookies for himself. That was the thing. Now, I'm not going 12, but I'm not going to lie. There have been days where I went 4, 5, maybe even 6 deep. That's no bueno. You can't go 5 cook chocolate chip cookies. That's how you got the gut, where when you put the jacket on, it's a little tight around the belly and around the back. And that's where we're at these days. So this is what it's like at training camp every day. The internal fight that I'm having with myself. No, I want a cookie. I don't want a cookie. I know I do want a cookie. I don't want a cookie. Yeah, that's where we're at. Of course, this is all tongue-in-cheek because they're offering us free food and free cookies. So I'm not complaining. I'm not. I'm just talking about the struggle, the internal struggle that I'm going through these days. That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. We'll do a Giants After Dark soon. So reach out. You know how to find me. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, email. Did I miss anything? TikTok. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. Also, go to YouTube, Jordan Rodon. Depth chart might be out now, coming up, one or the other. So until next time, you listen to Breaking Big Blue. I'm Jordan Rodon. See you next time.